Today, but remember that Advent is the arrival of someone important. The arrival of someone important. We are waiting on the second coming of Christ. Because he first came, the first time he came as a baby and a servant. The second time he is coming as king to take up the church. I want you guys to think about the holidays. When somebody says, "Happy holidays" to you, what do you guys automatically want to say in response? Merry Christmas. Thank you. Boy, if somebody would have said season's greetings, I would have been like, "What? Merry Christmas." Christmas has become about Santa Claus and the Grinch and not Jesus. My wife and I and the kids were watching a movie the other day, and I won't mention the movie, but this lady was a teacher at a small town, and they have a jubilee every year, and they were lacking funds. Seems to be the typical thing that people lack is money. And these rich guys said, "Hey, we'll fund your jubilee, but you can't say Merry Christmas, or you can't sing about the virgin birth, can't sing about any of that." This teacher figured out how to get it in there that, you know, they said Merry Christmas and they sang about the virgin birth and Mary, did you know, and all that good stuff in the movie. But that's reality today, folks. People aren't looking at the second coming of Christ. They're looking at their bank accounts. They're looking at their shiny cars. They're looking at the gifts under the tree. They're looking at their computer screens or their phone screens. They're telling us that as Christians, it's wrong of us to say Merry Christmas. They want to take Christ out of Christmas. And we should take it a step further. Put Christ back into Christmas and put Christ back into Christianity. We have laid down our arms and we have quit fighting. As Christians, as the church in America, we have laid down and we have said, "Fine, you want to be gay? Be gay. You want to look at pornography? Look at pornography. You want to curse like a sailor? Curse like a sailor. Because God loves you anyway. God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to do a thing to change." Folks, I'm coming at Christ, the second candle of peace. This sermon is about a war. When we think about peace, what picture do you get? In a military term, it's a term out of wartime. I know that some of you older generations know what it's like to be at war and at peace, right? Some of you have been through a couple of those, peace times and war times. When we look at Scripture, we find that there was a war against mankind because of sin. That war was between God and us. And the only way that we would be reconciled completely is through Jesus. There were three things that happened through the birth of Jesus: peace, justification, and reconciliation. My prayer today is that when you walk out these doors, that you will look at the birth of Jesus in a different set of lenses. Luke 2:14. I'm going to go to 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." My first point is peace. Luke 2:13. Peace on earth with those who God is pleased. This is often left out of the saying. So many people say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." However, there is a second part to that, with whom he is pleased. Jesus came to give peace to mankind, but only for those who believe in Jesus and repent of their sins. I want you guys to jump over to Isaiah 9:6. I should have a bunch of slides up there. Can you go to... Isaiah 9:6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Let's not get this twisted. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he came to reconcile us back to God. My commentary says that goodwill toward men is on whom God's sovereign pleasure rests. God's peace is not a reward for those who have goodwill, but a gracious gift to those who are objects of his goodwill. Now, I want to give you guys something that I've been chewing on, and I actually had to call Brother Fish, and I actually had to hash this out with him this week because of the approach that I was taking today. The Alliance says Christ our healer, right? I'm going to give you guys something now. And I'm not trying to get off topic, but I want you guys to be thinking about this. I said that we're at war with God because of sin, right? That doesn't mean that God hates us and that God does not love us. If he hated us and did not love us, he would not have sent his son to be the Prince of Peace. So, when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, he promised them, "If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." Did they die immediately? No. They did not die immediately. As a matter of fact, Adam lived to be 900 years old. And when God kicked them out of the garden, they were covered in fig leaves. What did God do? He clothed them, right? He clothed them in lamb skin, right? He created clothes for them. Because they were covered in fig leaves. Why did God cover Adam and Eve in fig leaves if they were going to die? Or, I'm sorry, why did God take them out of fig leaves and cover them in clothing when he said they were going to die? To protect them from the elements, right? And also that first sacrifice was to cover the sin that they committed. But God said, "I care about Adam and Eve enough that I'm going to give them clothes to protect them from the sun and the wind and the rain and all that stuff." I would have liked to know what kind of clothes those were, because this shirt wouldn't protect me from the rain and the cold, you know. So if Christ our healer comes out of that. So what do you mean by, Pastor Aaron, when you say that God is at war with mankind because of sin? It doesn't give it a very pretty picture, does it? When you think about God not wanting to be with mankind. He had to turn his back. Remember, when Jesus died on the cross, he turned his back. God turned his back on Jesus because of all the sin that he took on his body. I want you guys to look at Deuteronomy 32:21. Deuteronomy 32:21. And today I put the slides up there for the verses. I won't do this every week, but I wanted you guys to have a quick reference. So I took the time to type these out. They have made me jealous with what is no God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. This is God. This is God saying that he's angry with people because of their idolatry, their sinful nature. Their sinful nature. It's okay, guys. She's got it. Look at Psalm 7, 11 through 12. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword, and he has bent his bow and readied his bow. When we are caught in sin, when we are not following Christ, we are still at war with God. Because God hates sin, and therefore, when we are not following Christ, when we have not repented of our sin, then we are still at war with God. But Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to end that war against God through the atonement of sin, through the washing of sin through his blood. I really, really wrestled with this all week, trying to figure out why I'm taking this approach. Because everybody always looks at the manger as cute and cuddly, and, you know, and it wasn't. You realize that Jesus could have been born at the Taj Mahal or a place that more extravagant than any palace ever made on earth. He could have created a place to be born that was the best thing on earth that Bill Gates' house couldn't even touch. But instead was born in a nasty, smelly, cold, filthy, mud-filled, crap-filled stable laid in a manger that was used to feed animals. That is a picture of a warrior. Because where are battles fought? Outside in a mud-filled, crap-filled field. War is nasty. It is fought on the ground that is filled with all that stuff I just said, and blood and dead people. Wars are won on ground like that. And Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to be the physician, right? The Pharisees in the Gospels, right, which I've been reading through, and now I'm in John. The Pharisees argued with Jesus, and they said one day, why do you do the healings? Something along those lines. And he said, the well do not need a physician. I came to seek and save the lost and those who are sick. Who are the sick people? The ones caught in sin still. The ones struggling with addiction. The ones who don't understand the real meaning of Christmas. Go to Isaiah 41 through 2. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You see, pardoned, justification, right? Jesus came to pardon us. Justification, just as if I'm not found guilty. But the only way that happens, the only way, is through repentance. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I clothed that person. I went and fed that person. And Jesus said, that's great. Even the demons believe. But you have to repent. You have to be baptized. You have to turn away from your wicked things. You have to turn away from sin. You have to end that war between you and God. You have to. Pardoned. Found not guilty. And one day, when we stand before God, true Christians stand before God, they're going to be found not guilty. The war against Jerusalem has ended. The iniquity has been pardoned. Justified. Peace. The Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. Our God and our King. Not Santa Claus. Not the Grinch. Not how many presents I get under the tree. Right? Kids. My kids, even. How many gifts are we going to get this year? I asked him one time, how many gifts are you going to give away? My wife and I really struggle with some of this stuff year after year because we have so many people that we buy gifts for. Probably 40 at least. You know, and we really struggle because we want to give people nice gifts. But we get upset because they forget the real meaning of Christmas. You know, it's not fair that these candles are burning out right behind me. You know, I feel like I got to talk faster because this candle burns so fast, you know, and it's about out. Last year, I burned out a whole Advent candle. They were timing it, and they said that's how we knew how long you were going to talk by the end of the, you know, and you guys still hired me, so you guys are, you know, whatever. Anyway, not to be distracting. I don't want you guys to be distracted by the candles, but I am kind of distracted. I might have to blow that first one out. Justified. Justifications. Justification. Oh, would you put up Romans 5:1 for me? Justification equals not guilty. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through Jesus. That is it. There is no other way to get to heaven. There is no other way that you cannot have enough money in the world to buy your way into heaven. I don't care how rich Bill Gates is and Elon Musk. When they stand before God, if they have not repented of their sin, they're going to hell. I don't care how much money you got because it's God's anyway. We are at war, folks. We are at war. And I think people don't want to realize that. They just want to sit on the bench every week and say, oh, I'm going to go praise and worship God, and I'm going to get my fill of the Bible, and then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to do nothing. Because I got to go to work 40, 50 hours a week at a regular job. That's great. That's your mission field. That's your mission field. Wherever you're at, your Judea, your Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? Acts 1:8. Jesus said to go all these places and what? Make disciples. Make disciples. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. People are missing the Prince of Peace because they're so focused on Santa Claus. People are missing the Prince of Peace because they're so focused on the green guy, the Grinch. Advent means the arrival of somebody important. Jesus is the most important person that we can be waiting for the arrival of. You know, sometimes Sarah and I get to see Air Force One fly into Wright Pat sometimes, you know, and we're like, well, who is it? You know, back when Trump was in office, was it Trump? Was it, you know, Pence? Or is it the other guy or any other person that's in office now? Who is it? And then we go on. We go about our day. But we're waiting for the arrival of Jesus, and he's not coming on Air Force One. He's not coming on Air Force One, and he's coming back as a king. His words are going to be sharper than any two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. That's in the book of Revelation. Kids, I want you guys to understand. Look at me, kids, okay? In today's world, in today's society, they're going to tell you that it's not okay to worship Jesus. That you should put your faith in Buddha or Muhammad or whatever. But they're going to tell you it's not okay to be a Christ follower. And I'm here to tell you that's a bunch of bunk. That Jesus is the reason for the season. That Jesus is who you follow. Don't listen to anybody else, okay? Trust me, you guys are starting to get it at a young age. Jesus is the reason for the season. I said that as a kid, and I fully believe it now. Jesus is the reason why we have Christmas. In Colossians 1, 21 through 22, it says that Jesus is the one who reconciled us to be present, to present us blameless before God. You can go to the next one. Next slide. Oh, nope, go back. We're not ready for that yet. I don't actually think I typed that slide out. So go to Colossians 1, 21. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. In case you guys were wondering where it was at. New Testament. Colossians 1, 21 through 22. Again, coming at this from a war standpoint. And you who were once alienated, what's alienated mean? What's that? Separated. So, and you who were once separated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, causing sin. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Who's him? God. I love Jesus. I love that I get to be an under shepherd of him to a flock that loves Jesus too. John, isn't it wonderful when other Jesus lovers get together? And it's okay to say that we love Jesus, right? We should say we love Jesus. Sister Claire, we want little kids in VBS to learn about Jesus. Why? Because we want them to go to heaven. When you think about what the scripture says about children, and children love Christmas because they love gifts. And there's nothing wrong with gifts. So please don't hear that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with gifts. Giving gifts is okay. Because God gave us the best gift of all, which is his only son. To be the justifier, the sanctifier, our redeemer, our reconciler, our Prince of Peace, our mighty God. That's what Jesus is. I lost my train of thought where I was going with that. Kids love Christmas. But I want them to get the real meaning of Christmas. And Jesus said, do not keep the little kids from coming unto me. If you do, you might as well put a millstone around your neck and drown in the river. And people who are lost are kind of like those little kids. Do not keep anybody from coming unto me. If you keep somebody from coming unto me, it is better that you drown in the river. That's what Jesus was really saying. Jesus loved little kids. And you know how I know that? Because the Bible says that Jesus was talking and there was a bunch of little kids that came and wanted to be near Jesus. And the disciples said, no, 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 no. And Jesus said, yes, 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 yes. Let the little kids come unto me. And he took them and he held them in his lap. Jesus held the little kids in his lap. And then he said, do not keep them from coming unto me. My wife and I purchased Advent booklets out there. And it talks about the five candles and what they represent. It talks about peace. But they're going to learn that Jesus came to be the ultimate gift for us. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:18. So 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, right? So that's where you're at. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Go up to verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we were once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Folks, you have the gift of ministry of reconciliation to go and share with other people. It is not just my job. It's not just Pastor Fish's job. It's not just Pastor John's job. It's everybody's job to go and tell other people about reconciliation. The addicts. The poor. The homeless. We have that ministry of reconciliation living inside of us when we become Christ followers and we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit to go out and tell others about the Prince of Peace. Meaning, we go out and share the gospel with those around us to become ambassadors for the kingdom. I believe we lack in this area, and we don't tell others the good news. When I worked at City Barbecue, they knew I loved Jesus. And they knew that I did not want to work on Sunday because they knew how important church was to me. And guess what? My boss said, I will not work you on a Sunday unless it's a very important holiday for us, meaning that it's going to make us a lot of money. How many times did I have to go in on a holiday, on a Sunday, and I was mad about it? And they did it a few too many times, and I said, okay, I'm out of here. You're not going to work me on Sunday. I've asked you not to work me on Sunday. And then they worked around my schedule because they wanted to keep me. I'm going to say this again. Jesus is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Not because of Santa and the Grinch. I am so very brokenhearted over the removal of Merry Christmas or away in a manger and replacing it with Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Or Jingle Bells, rock and roll style. We need to get back to the real meaning of Christmas and understand that Jesus is our Prince of Peace because he took the punishment and shame on himself to be the ultimate sacrifice of sin. We don't have to sacrifice any more animals because of the love of Jesus. He ended the war on sin. He ended the war on sin because he took it upon himself. He took it upon himself. I don't have to lay my body on a cross because of Jesus. I don't have to burn up in hell because of Jesus. But do you know what? There are people literally dying every day, not knowing Jesus, and they're burning up for all eternity. And I want you guys to ask yourself, what am I doing to prevent that? What am I doing to stop them from going to hell? Because I'm supporting them by letting them have Santa Claus and the Grinch and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. So when somebody tells me Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings, I always reply, Merry Christmas. And you'll be surprised that people say it back. Justification, right? I'm found not guilty because of the blood of Christ. I want the next person next to me, behind me, in front of me, to also be not found not guilty. And if we don't do that, then we're selfish. We'd rather receive than give that ministry of reconciliation. Today is Communion Sunday, and we are coming together to remember that sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read this, and then Brother Fish is going to come up, and we're going to work together, buddy, and we're going to serve you guys communion. If you guys cannot come up to the front, we would be more than happy to bring it to you at the end. It's also every time we have communion, we have benevolence offering. This looks really nice, I'm going to move the plate to over here. So while people are in line, they can drop the money in the offering plate right here while they're in line. And that way, you know, that's being done that way. Communion is a remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus made, right? And the Prince of Peace, he is the peace that we are looking for. First Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Some translations say broken for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remembrance of me. The Bible doesn't say we have to do it every month, but we, as an alliance, we decided that we wanted to do it the first Sunday of every month because we want to remember it often. I'm going to pray for the elements, and then Brother Fish and I will pass out the, have you guys line up and come receive offering. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord Jesus, right now we're coming together to take communion in remembrance of you, to remember that your body was broken and your blood was shed to be the Prince of Peace in our life, to end that war against sin. Because you wanted us, Father God, to have a relationship with you, to end the alienation, the separation. So God, as we take communion, let people prepare their minds and their hearts to receive the offering of remembrance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.